every time I was always working for that moment at the graveside where I could hug a family and hand them my card and like, call me if you need anything.
That sweet
And
release, we run off to lunch.
And the hope was, please don't call me. I hope you never have to call me. I've listened to plenty of your podcasts. They're pretty entertaining. So
Oh, good. Thank
it's
you.
good content.
It's when we get into some of the stuff, it's good. And I think funeral directors, it really resonates with, and we'd like to have a good time. Matt, what is aftercare? Tell me, what is it? We all hear this word all the time in the funeral service. Aftercare, aftercare, aftercare. I feel like there's so many different types. You're the pro. Let us hear what aftercare is.
Michael, that's a great question. It's something that every time I'm at a convention and people are walking by our booth, and I start asking funeral directors, "Hey, what are you guys doing for aftercare?" And the number one response is they kind of look sheepish and they're like, "Not enough." And I'm like, "Well, not enough of what?" And they don't know. A lot of them think that aftercare kind of falls into a couple categories. So if you think back a little to the history of it, when the mortuary was just part of the community, it was being there for the family after the services were over, right? I still have small town funeral homes who take their families a bucket of fried chicken and check in on them, right? That was aftercare. And then as we kind of went more corporate on the funeral side, then it was like, well, hang on, this could be a sales opportunity. So then we moved into aftercare is pushing pre-need. Right. And so a lot of funeral directors tell me, like, yeah, we already have a pre-need company. And I'm like, well, aftercare doesn't have anything to do with pre-need per se. Like, it's taking care of the family. And then because people were so offended by the really heavy push on pre-need, the pendulum kind of swung the other way where it was like, well, I just need some kind of reach out. And so that's when the advent of cards in the late 90s came on, and then about 15, 20 years ago is when we started doing like texts and emails and just some kind of reach out to the family. And then I think this new generation of aftercare is almost going back to the original of more than just reaching out to them and seeing how they're doing. There's an opportunity to actually serve them with what they're dealing with in those next steps, right? And so that is something that's our flavor of aftercare. I think all aftercare is important. I think there has to be a pre-need element. There has to be a follow-up element. But taking care of the family afterwards, and I'll leave this one thing. I was talking to one of the larger conglomerates over the United States, and they sent out about 50,000 surveys a couple years ago and asked families, like, what can we do better, basically? And by far, the number one response was, I didn't feel supported after the funeral was over. Once services were done, the funeral director was on to the next family. I didn't feel any support or any help with what I had to deal with next. No one to go to through with questions. And so I think that is what families are asking for, and that's where aftercare is headed.
I'm totally with you 100%. Coming from my background as a funeral director, it's so tough to do that, but it's so important. I like just coming from my point of view, where we're going every single day, so that way we're trying to get the services done. And once that burial takes place, or once that cremation, they pick up the urn, it's like we shut down. And part of it is probably a good thing, because if you deal with some families that are very difficult, it makes it easy. Like, okay, all I have to do is get through this week. But we all know how important it is to continue that service, because then you're helping the family through that tough time after the fact. And then it makes them so much more likely to come use your funeral home, unfortunately, when they do have a future loss. And there's so many different ways you can do it. And there's so many different elements, and it's challenging and it's tricky, but finding your own way as a funeral home or using the right companies to do it is so huge. Segueing to this is Matt. He's the founder owner of Full Circle Aftercare that does a fantastic aftercare program, helping a lot of families and a lot of funeral homes. So I just want to hear what a little bit about what you guys do so our audience know if they haven't heard you before. And then I'd like to unpack and talk about all the different types of aftercare and what we can do, you know, just if it's a small little funeral home, what can I do or what can someone else do too? So let's talk about all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and to kind of segue off what you were just saying on aftercare, I just talked to a funeral director this week who has been in a family-run business. He's been in the funeral industry for 50 years.
Yep.
And he's like, every time I was always working for that moment at the graveside where I could hug a family and hand them my card and like, call me if you need anything.
That sweet release, we run off to lunch.
right. And the hope was, please don't call me. I hope you never have to call me. And he said that he had someone very, very close to him pass away.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he was on the other side of the table. And he's like, I didn't handle it well. And I remember sitting at the graveside and this funeral director came up and she was like, call me if you need anything. And he goes, I never heard from her again. And he goes, on my end, that silence was deafening. Right. Oh, and so I thought that was an interesting perspective. And he's like, it makes me feel like he said, I feel kind of hopeless because I am so busy as a funeral director.
Right.
And I want to be there for families, but I'm just hoping that they don't need me. And the fact is they do, but I just don't know how to manage my time with all my at-need cases. And everything else they have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so, so difficult to have to do that. And it's, unfortunately, it's like not on the top priority because we have all these things that it needs to be done today. It's not like, oh, we can kind of get to it tomorrow, which is funny because when you're in different industries, things aren't as life or death, you know, pun intended, I guess, as it is with funeral service. Like, no, you can't finish, you know, making these arrangements till tomorrow. You can't finish embalming this body. It needs to get done. So these things that we know we really want to do, and we really want to get done, but it's just not on that, on that tip top of like emergency priority. So that's where that difference is. And that's what makes it so hard, I think.
Well, and I think for a funeral director, not only can you not put anything off, which no other industries understand this, what funeral directors have to do.
No,
but also there is zero room for error, right? Like every other industry, like, okay, my mechanic makes a mistake, or I just built a house and the painters made all these mistakes. We had them come back like, hey, can you fix these mistakes? I understand mistakes are made, but you better not make a mistake with my mom.
Nope.
Right? Like I have zero tolerance for error. So I'm expecting more from the funeral director than anyone else. I expect perfection.
Yeah.
And so the funeral director bends over backwards for these families.
Yeah.
And they only meet expectations. They do everything perfect. And they're like, yeah, well, that's what I expected you to do. And right. So it's so hard to get ahead.
It is. And if you make any tiny little mistake, it amplifies because, of course, they're going through like a grieving process from a family's point of view. I understand it. From our point of view, it's so tough because it's like, I'm walking on pins and needles because I cannot make one error. So you're quadruple checking everything that you're doing, making sure all my arrangements are done perfectly. The service is done perfectly. All the prep room work, you're meticulous. And that's right. That's how you get so zoned in when you're a mortician.
Right. It's why you can't email a funeral director. They're never gonna get to it.
We know that just like you can't. Emailing the funeral director is like using a glass bottle, you know, like don't bother, like they're not gonna get back to you. I'm sure some are on top of it, but I know from my own experience, my brother can testify to this. When we first started like all of our business with mortuary marketing, mortuary show, I never checked my email. Ever.
No.
And he's like, why don't you check your email? I was like, I don't, like, I have other things that I have to do. I don't care. And he's like, this is business 101. You look at your email, like, I just don't do it. Now they feel such a drum, but I can empathize with the funeral director because I never did.
Yep. And I understand that too. I mean, I have a hard time with it because you can either be 100% focused on that family, or, and you realize there is zero room for error here, or you could be a multitasker. But for me, it's like, we got a family in our care and it is 100% all in.
Yep.
And all the other stuff has to fall by the wayside until they are taken care of. Right.
Right.
Because that's what we have to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go a little bit into like some tips and tricks, from your point of view on what we can do, like a smaller funeral home for our own aftercare, if we were able to set up a program or something that we can do personally, as funeral directors, funeral home owners, managers, whoever it might be, what are some things that we can do?
Yeah. So what I think the way for us to understand what needs to be done is really look at it from the family's perspective. What are they going through? And I think if you break down all the different variables, it really comes down to the family has three problems when a death occurs.
Okay.
Right. The first one we know, the death occurs, the family has to deal with the body. So that's problem number one. Yeah. And funeral directors are really good about talking about this piece, right? We can do embalming, we can do cremation, we can do services and then cremation. We're really good about focusing on that piece and like no other, because there are no other resources for families. And so that's number one. Number two is that person was part of their lives, whether they had a great relationship or not, but they've lost this person, this loss of connection. And so I think funeral directors do a pretty good job on this next phase. And that is connecting them back with their loved one and connecting them also with their family and a new support system. Right. And we don't talk about this enough with families. There's a reason why services are so effective and why we've done services for hundreds of years.
Right.
Because it brings people together. Seeing your loved one gone marks an ending. There needs to be an ending, right? And we need to know that, and we need to come together. And there is a psychological process that happens when families go through that memorials, you know, the memorial and the viewing and the services.
Yep.
And so I think we do a good job with that. And I think we do a good job with the memorial products. There's so many things that connect us, you know, whether it's fingerprint jewelry or, you know, a great urn or so many things that help with that. Right. And some funeral homes are going away from that side, which is, I think, a tragedy. So those are the first two that
you kind of. What do you mean they're going away from that, you think, a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, like these online direct cremation. There's just like, hey, we'll deal with the body, but nothing more. And rather than helping families understand, we're not order takers as funeral homes, right? Mm-hmm. We're not just here to take orders. We're here to help them understand what their needs are with their loved one dying.
Yeah.
Right.
I understand
the importance of gathering. It doesn't have to be a huge funeral. It can be a little life celebration, but we need to gather.
Right. Yeah, that's huge. It's so important. And when people always ask, like, why do people still have open caskets, things like that, I was like, it is part of that grieving process. Like, there's a reason this has been done for so, so long. And even before embalming was a thing, like, people still, they would see the remains and they would be like, okay, this person is now like gone. And when you don't have that, or at least have some sort of memorial service where it sets that, it distinguishes, like, we have had a loss and it puts a stamp on it. As tough as that is, it's part of that process so that way we can continue to move on later, because there's unfinished business sometimes if we're not having that. And it's a huge part, and it's part of what we do and what we do really well. And, you know, I agree. It's still such an important thing that we have to do and give the family different options and opportunities. Like you were saying, depending on what services you want, and show them that you have options and you have different ways that you can do that's perfect for your family.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I think as a funeral home, we do a great job on the body. We do a pretty good job for the most part, especially small funeral homes, family funeral homes. They still understand that loss of connection and how to help families through it.
Yep.
So those are the first two. The third thing is, it's a real problem for families, and one that we might not understand as funeral directors. And that is, everything that person's life touched who passed away now needs to be addressed by that family member, right? And it's everything from, I mean, look, I got junk mail here, right? Like all those things have to be changed and updated, you know, insurance and retirement and credit cards and Facebook and cell phones and all these different things.
Yeah.
And it's really overwhelming for those family members because it's two parts of a problem. The one side is, I don't know what to do. I don't know what things they had, and I don't know who to contact. And then the other side is the emotional difficulty of doing it.
Sure.
And so, you know, I have this under my desk. I'll turn it around so you don't see a logo on it. Yeah. But right, like this is one thing that a funeral home came up with.
You've shown me that before, yeah.
Big 2.5-inch binder inside here with a bunch of, and this is what you need to take care of. Mm-hmm. And the family's like, oh, that's so helpful.
Yeah, the jaw drops. Oh,
I got to deal with all of this. And that is really frustrating to be charged with as someone who's grieving. I just lost my dad, and now I got to figure out all these other things.
Right. On top of your grief, right?
On top of that. And so I go to, like, I work with hospices a lot. And so oftentimes they'll have me do these seminars with seniors and things like that. And so I was sitting there in this room, and you can imagine there's 150, 200 people in the room. And I say, who here's lost a loved one? Everyone's hand goes up. And who here had to close out their loved one's personal affairs? And about 2/3 of the hands stay up, and I ask a few people, what was that experience like? Right. And they're always like, oh, I loved that experience. It was so great. Usually they're like, it was the worst. I hate it. They have all these horror stories.
Right.
And then
right.
I ask one more question. And the question is, how long did it take you? And the number one response to that, what do you think it is? What do you think they say?
A couple months? I don't know. That's what I would guess. 2 months.
Well, there was a national survey that went out, and they found that families with less than $10,000 of assets, so basically nothing,
okay,
takes 14 to 18 months.
Goodness gracious. So I can only imagine if someone has a large estate.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's not the response I get. The number one response I get when I ask this question is, they get this look like, I don't know if I ever finished.
Oh boy.
And I say, does that give you anxiety? And they're like, so much.
It's something that's weighing on you. Yeah.
I worry. Did I leave something undone? Or it was my dad died, my mom's still alive. Is my mom missing out on stuff now because I didn't help her with those next steps?
Right.
And the unfortunate answer is yes. I mean, 82% of widows are underpaid on their spousal Social Security benefits, well, according to an audit a couple of years ago. And that means most widows are out there not getting paid. And so not only do they not know what to do, but then they have this anxiety. Oh, did I do it all? Maybe they did, but no one's there to walk them through and tell them that. Right. And so I think as a funeral home, a couple things are important in following up with the family. The other two pieces we have a good handle on, but what's next? What does the family have to do with next, and how can we be part of that? Now, we might have enough time on our hands to sit down with each family and go through a checklist with them. We might just have to print off a checklist and say, call me if you have any questions. Or you might hire a third-party service like Full Circle Aftercare or something else out there. Not to like shamelessly plug, but like that's what the funeral homes do. Yeah. But some kind of follow-up is helpful, right?
Right.
And the other things, the pre-need sales and like the cards and the text and stuff, those are also helpful to know that the funeral home cares.
Right.
But helping the family with those tasks is helping the family. What the family should do is when they experience a death, I can go to the funeral home and they take care of all the aspects of losing my loved one, right? They might not be attorneys and help me through probate, but they're going to help guide me through everything I need to do. And that's, I think, the vision. And that's when people say, man, that funeral home really took care of me and went the extra mile.
Yeah, it's very true. They're going through so much, so it's hard to even think about that it taking on that process like immediately after, and the fact that right. it takes so many people so long and never like truly feeling finished. I remember from losses in my own family, my uncle took on all of the stuff that had to go on after, and he just said it was, and he comes from a finance background, and he said, man, it's just not pleasant. It's not a pleasant experience. So if there's anything we can do as funeral directors to help the family, that, because that's one avenue that's going to give them stress. And then if we can help them from an emotional standpoint on top of that, which this does go hand in hand because you're relieving some sort of right. something, this cloud hanging over their head. I think right. that's a beautiful thing. What are some of those things that are like on a typical checklist? Like, I know I would like to think I know a good majority of them, but what are you suggesting that funeral homes reach out to help them or use someone like you guys to help them through the process? What does that checklist look like?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is for someone to talk to who understands what those next steps are, even if they have to do some of those steps on their own. Yeah. Just answering a few of those questions is so comforting to the family to give them some peace of mind. At least I have a roadmap moving forward. Right. The big questions that people always are asking is about government benefits, is first of all, right? Anything about Social Security, veterans benefits, those yeah. types of things. Top of mind. The next thing that I think families are most worried about is fraud, and for good reason. Right. About 2.5 million deceased individuals get their identity stolen every year, and the last time they studied that was 2016, so it's yeah. been a few years, so I don't know if it's gone up or down from there, but that's a huge number, right? And so I think a lot of families are worried about, like, who has my wife's information? How is that being used?
Right.
What's out there? Is someone taking advantage of us? Is that going to come back on me? So I think fraud protection is the next big one. And then I think the next few are all kind of right in line. Like, what do I do about the financial side of things? Do I need an attorney? Do I need legal help? And what about, I call them the kind of the little things, but like memberships, AARP membership, Facebook, Instagram, you know, they had digital currency. They had, you know, all these different things. Yeah. It's just like, what do I do about all that? And so either having someone on staff who gets some training, who can talk to them, or having a resource where you can send families that they can talk to someone is really, really helpful.
It sure is. It makes a big difference. And just to get some of that relief or to know what to do, because if, like, for example, if I like lost a loved one, God forbid, I would be like, I barely would know where to begin right. with closing out their accounts and figuring out what to do with their financials and things like that, and finding out even what they have too. That's got to be a huge part of it, I would think.
Oh, it's a huge part of it. It's a huge yeah. part of it. You know, I've told this story before, but when I first started the service, so my background is actually engineering, and I had a friend in the funeral industry who told me how families were really struggling and there wasn't anyone to help them. So we came up with the service together. But my background was like, oh, let's just make this convenient. Let's make this easy to use for families. Let's give them a lot of information.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand the emotion behind it. And one of the first people I helped was a young widow who her husband was in Afghanistan and got really sick, came home, he had a terminal illness. So he gets placed on hospice. She has these three young kids she's taking care of. She quits her job. She's taking care of the kids. She's taking care of him. He passes away.
Yeah.
The day he passes away, her landlord comes over because he sees like all the people come and take him and stuff. Yeah. And he's like, hey, I saw that he passed. Listen, if this means you can't pay rent, you might as well move out now.
Goodness gracious.
Right? Like, how heartless. And she was young. She didn't have much of an education. And I call her and she is just distraught.
Yeah.
She's like, I have no future. I don't know what's going to happen. Am I going to be homeless? I got these three small kids. I don't have a lot of support. And just educating on her on what was available. But, you know, of course, what I was able to do is I was, you know, I called VA, I called Social Security, I got those benefits set up. She didn't know about those things. We found a little life insurance policy. We found a bunch of things. And I remember after about 2.5 hours of going through this with her, she stopped me in the mid-sentence. She goes, "You know what, Matt? I can do this." And I was like, heck yes, you can do this. And you need to do this for you and those three kids. Like, you're going to take care of it. You're going to be the mama. And I am here to make sure that you have all those resources to do it. And like, it turned my whole mentality around at that moment. It was like, there's more than just here's a checklist, like families, or this is convenient. This will be convenient. Having someone with them to strengthen them through those next steps is so rewarding for the family. And what it means is, you know, before I talked about families expect perfection from the funeral home and you deliver it every time, but it's hard to exceed expectations. But when the funeral's over and you're like, I'm still here as a funeral home, I'm still going to take care of you as a family. No families expect that. And they're like, man, the funeral home went the extra mile for me. And what does that create? That creates loyalty. That creates goodwill in the community. That means differentiation. That means pre-need sales. That means at-need sales. That means all the things the funeral home wants. But you can't get those things by going directly, just asking for those things. You have to give them a reason to want to love your funeral home.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I think the more that you give and put out there, it comes back to you tenfold. Absolutely. Is really what it is. And if you can show that you're willing to go above and beyond, and I always say this about like during a service, this is just the same thing, but just after the service, where you're taking it to the next level, showing we do really care about you and care about your family. There is no way they're going to any funeral home for any loss that they have, because they're going to be comparing it to that experience that they had where they reached out to me after and they were really willing to help. And it's a great way to do it. Tell us about where this is what you do. Like, it's clear, everyone listening, like, this is what he does. So tell us what Full Circle Aftercare does, you know, from start to finish, and a little bit, maybe how, I know you touched on it, but how you got started in the first place a little bit more would be really wonderful for us to know about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I'm working in civil engineering. I have this friend who is in the pre-need side of the funeral business, and his name is Tom. And Tom's like, so we came up with this plan. We wanted to sell more pre-need. And so we told families we needed to meet with them after the funeral is over to help them with the next steps.
Right.
But in reality, we don't have a ton of things to help them with. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's kind of this way for us to get into the home and then talk about pre-need. And he's like, here's the thing. Every family we talk to is like, oh my gosh, you have some help. I would love that. And then when we sit down to start doing this pre-need sales pitch, they're like, okay, that's great, but I thought you were going to help me. And they're like, yeah, here's a checklist, you know? And he's like, it works when it works, but most of the time it doesn't work.
Right.
He's like, a few of our pre-need sales agents are actually starting to help families in some ways, but they're only helping the families that they're expecting like a big pre-need sale out of, right?
Yeah.
So these ones they already have pre-need, I'm not even going to go meet with them, but these ones they're starting to help, and the ones that they do help, it really makes a difference for that experience. So he reached out to me. We kind of came up with a program. We worked together for about 2 years going after hospices, because he was already in the funeral space. And then in 2016, I bought him out. And that's when we started going with funeral homes. And we kind of changed the direction our service. So basically what we are is we're a white label concierge service. It's part of what the funeral home offers. Mm-hmm. And at the pre-need or the at-need arrangement, the funeral director sits down and says, hey, how many death certificates do you need to order? The family says, I don't know. How many do I need? And the funeral director says, well, you need them for these things. And the family looks at that list and they're like, I don't know if I can use this language, but like, oh shit.
Go for it.
I got to deal with all those things on that checklist. And the funeral director says, hey, we have some people on our staff that are going to take care of that for you. So they'll walk you through those next steps. It's our aftercare team. They report the death to us, and then we call in behalf of that funeral home's name. Mm-hmm. Right? This is Matt from Harrow Funeral Home, and I'm here to help you with all the next steps to your comfort level.
Yeah.
So we set an appointment. We go through the checklist of what needs to be done, help them figure out what does need to be done, and then we make all the notifications for them. Help them start paperwork, all those next steps. We're not like attorneys. We're not financial planners. We're not giving them tax advice, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We're just helping them with the notifications, get the processes started. Sometimes they do need to go meet with an attorney. We get feedback for the funeral home. We talk about pre-need in the educational sense. So we get a lot of people interested in pre-need, and then, we're help them until everything's done. And then either the funeral home will take over the aftercare at that point, which will lead more to pre-need, or we can continue at that point with some cards and texts like they want traditional, really want to get Google reviews. We want those kind of feedback.
Yep.
Or if they have like another aftercare company that is already doing cards and texts, then we'll pass the baton over to them. That's kind of what we do in a nutshell. We're just there with the family until everything's done. Like there's no time limit. We're here with you. Once everything's done, then we'll let you go and send you on your way. So that's really kind of the experience the family's having.
Yeah. So it's you're helping them carry it out, or are you, some of the things that are you actually doing for them? How does it typically work? I'm sure it varies based on the family a lot too.
Yeah.
The level of comfort and everything.
Right. We want to definitely make them feel comfortable, but yeah, we will. We'll do as much as we can for the family. Because I don't know, last time you called into someone like Social Security, but you know, you're sitting on hold for an hour.
Yeah.
Someone comes on the phone. You don't know what questions to ask. You don't know what to say. So we actually make those phone calls for them. So for Social Security, for example, calling and we're saying, hey, I'm calling from the funeral home. I have a grieving family on the phone with us. We need to fill out form 1724 to claim the last benefit. We need to link the work records. So we're able to do all the technical lingo speak, the business jargon, so that the Social Security employee knows what's happening and can get set that up, or the insurance company, or the investment firm, or whoever we're going to deal with. And then the family's just kind of listening to that happen. They can step in and ask questions if they want to.
Sure.
But we're kind of protecting them from having to say, you know, my mom just died. And my mom just died. My mom just died.
Yeah.
Having to know that, we're going to do all the talking for them.
Yeah.
Except for when it comes to like probate, then we would have to, they'd have to get an attorney at that point.
Right.
Or there are a few things they need to do on their own. Like a bank account can't be closed remotely. You have to go into a branch.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, we're like, okay, let's talk about timing. When are you going to close the bank account? We need to wait for 3 months until all these other things clear. I'm going to give you the paperwork that you can fill out and walk in and hand to them when they're ready. And so, so some things we're doing for them, some things we're instructing them to do. And sometimes we're just answering a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think it's just a wonderful touch that you can provide to families, and something that most of us are not well-versed, but we don't know exactly. So it's helpful to have a professional, and you do it on behalf of that funeral home. So it's not like you're saying, oh, I'm calling from some service, and the family would be like, what? Like, no, you're on behalf of that funeral home. So they already have that connection with the funeral home. They have that comfort. So it just makes the process a little bit easier on them. And it's really, really interesting and cool.
Oop, that's a death call here. Hold on just a second. All right, I think the students got it. I'm sorry about that. You know, we've been seeing a lot more business come in ever since we started mortuary marketing. And I gotta tell you, all the funeral homes we work with, they're saying the same thing. So what do? We run ads on Google and other similar sites that get directed at families that need a funeral home in your area. It then brings them to a page that we've designed for you that gets the family to call you to inquire for your services. It's really increased our volume big time. It's working for my funeral home, and I think most parlors could really benefit from its uses. I put a bunch of information in the podcast description. Go check it out. I'm always happy to help talk with you and answer any questions you might have. All right, let's get back to our morbid discussion.
Tell us about how you train your employees and what they have to go through to learn how to enact your process with Full Circle.
Yeah, finding the right employees to do this was tough at the beginning.
Sure, yeah.
Because it's almost like a funeral director mentality, right? Like they have to have a heart of a teacher.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to just get through a list. I want to help this person gain peace of mind and get through the list. Right?
Yeah.
But they also can't be so soft that they don't get anything done.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's like a funeral director.
It's like a funeral director. You have to kind of walk this line. And
yeah.
One thing that I was very passionate about is my wife was a professor up at the University of Utah. And when we got married and then we had our daughter, and she had this great career ahead of her. And when we had our daughter, she called me up one day and she's like, "So I'm going to quit." And I was like, "What? You can't quit. You're giving up a whole, you can't come back to the university in 10 years. Like yeah. They're not going to give you back your professorship." And she's like, "I don't care. This is what I want to do. I want to be there with our daughter." And she took a lot of criticism from that, especially from other women.
I'm sure. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And then I just started noticing a lot of women will put their career on pause to take care of elderly parents, to take care of kids, to take care of other people.
Yeah.
And then when they go re-enter the workforce, they have this gap in their resume, and oftentimes it's hard for them to get a good job.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I want
to all of them.
Right. So I went and interviewed about 20 women who were in that stage of like taking care of others and said, what would you need to look for go back to work that would work for your schedule? And they gave me a bunch of parameters. I took those parameters. That became our basically employee manual. And
yeah.
Said, we're going to work around your schedule. We're going to work around your needs. And my goal was to help build the resume so they could go get a better job.
Uh-huh.
In reality, it became my secret sauce.
Yeah.
Because funeral directors love their families. And so the idea of having someone else call their family is not something that they take lightly.
Right.
And so we had to have people that were so capable with these families, and these women do it. So the training process for them is very intense.
Right.
Because you have to be, we don't read a script, right? Because I hate it when someone reads a script to me because it feels disingenuous, but they have to have a knowledge, so much knowledge, because you know how it is talking
so
to family.
Areas.
They're scatterbrained and you're going to be talking about veterans benefits. And all of a sudden they're like, "Well, what about the credit card?"
Yeah.
And you have to have someone who's capable of be like, "Okay, yeah, we can jump to credit card, sure."
Yeah.
This is the last. Well, what about AARP membership? Okay, yeah. So this is how we deal with that. And what we do is very community-based training. We have them listen to a bunch of phone calls. We train them, and then we pass them. They basically pass off section by section. Mm-hmm. And then they have a mentor. So the mentor helps them as they start their first calls and realizing that sometimes they're not going to have all the answers. So they have to have the mentor step in and help them with answering those questions until they have enough knowledge base that they can kind of graduate beyond that and do it themselves. And then they are going to be mentoring other estate specialists, helping them through that. And we find that community approach is so helpful because as we're dealing with all these different families, we're helping about 1,600 families a month.
That's great.
So as you're helping all these different families, you're running into all these situations. And as they're talking to each other and in these groups and training each other, as new situations come up, we're better equipped for that next family.
Yeah.
Which is why I think funeral directors do the same thing. And when they're able to have like these study groups and talk to other funeral directors who are running into the same situations over and over again, that cross training is very valuable.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it only encourages everyone to learn more and more about what your product, so to say, is. And it just makes everyone get better and makes your approach better. And then every family is getting better served. And that's just a wonderful thing. Where do you see your company going in the future? What are your goals? What does all of that look like?
So we're a real young company still, and I think somewhat unknown in the funeral industry. And a lot of that's my fault. When I created this company, I was like, I could go raise a bunch of money and have all these other outside influences come in, mm-hmm. or we could just kind of run small, because most of our funeral homes are small funeral homes. And mm-hmm. I would rather get all my feedback from my small funeral homes on what their families are needing and how I can help them grow their business rather than a big investor. So we didn't take any investment money. We didn't take any debt on. So we've kind of just grown by our bootstraps. And so I think the next step is we're starting to become known of like, oh, there's a third option in aftercare.
Right.
It's more than pre-need. It's more than just follow-up. There's a service-based option. And a lot of most of our growth right now comes from word of mouth referral. One funeral director telling their friend about it, and then they're calling up and adding your service. So I think the next step is to just become well known in the industry of this is an option. Mm-hmm. At that point, I'm sure we'll have more competition within this realm. We don't really have any competition right now doing what we do.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there will be, and then it will just be making sure that we are servicing both families really well and helping our funeral homes grow, finding new ways to do that and partner with them. Our vision is to kind of be a tool in the bag of every funeral director, where I have all these resources for me to be able to serve this family, and Full Circle Aftercare is one of them that can help me serve that family.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. It's an absolute wonderful tool to distinguish yourself and just to help the family, because they're going to be asking these questions almost always, I feel like. And whether it's they're getting help through your funeral home or they're getting help from a family member or someone else they know, most of the, or they're going online trying to find their way through, which probably is even more of a nightmare, I'd imagine.
A lot of false information, Mike.
That probably true, I'm sure. And it's just the fact that you can have this in your back pocket, or if it's necessary, it's such a really wonderful thing that I think there's families would just appreciate. I'm sure you see that all the time, and it just makes them love your funeral home even that much more. And that's why I think it's such a unique, cool concept that I'm all about going above and beyond and doing outperforming expectations. That's what it's all about. As a funeral director, and this is something. So if your funeral home is interested at all, you got to reach out to these guys. Like, they will take care of you and they're going to help you. So, Matt, we appreciate you coming on, and you've given us a lot of things to think about and a lot of knowledge for things that we can just bring in house. If you even wanted to, you could try to do it that way. We really appreciate you taking the time and showing us the way how we can get better. That's what it's all about. We want to get better every chance we get as funeral homes. And I think you've helped us do that a little bit today.
Well, thank you. You know, I tell the story often to my staff. My staff hates it, but you know, there's the story about the two woodcutters, right? And the one woodcutter would chop wood all day. The other one would go home for lunch. And at the end of the day, the one who stayed all day cut less wood than the one who went home for lunch every day. And he's like, I don't get it. I work an extra hour every day. Why do you chop more wood? And he goes, well, because when I go home for lunch, I sharpen my saw.
Yeah, come on.
Right? Baby. You got to sharpen the saw. And I think you providing this podcast allows people to sharpen that saw. And I think funeral homes who are talking to their families, understanding what their families' needs are, what their desires are, that allows them to sharpen that saw, sharpen those tools to be able to provide the services that they want. And that's going to keep them relevant and growing in all the challenges that we face in the funeral industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Perfectly well said. Well, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time. And like I said, if you need some extra assistance, Matt and Full Circle Aftercare and take you to the next level. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.